Let's pray before we get into the Word. Avenu Malkeinu, our Father, our King, we thank you so much for this time of worship and praise with your people. As we gather together, we know that you are here because we're more than two or three. And so, Father, we pray that now you guide us as we present your Word. And may be you speaking through us, and may your truth help us to understand your plan, your purpose for the feast, how they apply to our lives as well. B'shem Yeshua Moshichenu, in Jesus our Lord and Messiah, we pray. Amen. So, the four feasts of Israel, we call them, and I'll give you just a general idea of, where do I point this to you? Try the other one. Okay, we go to the other way. Okay, what is the purpose of the feasts of the Lord? Why he instituted them? You might say, Brother Jorge, I'm not Jewish. Why do I have to know about this feast? Well, there is a purpose for the feast, whether you're Jewish or not, that God can bless you. One is that God wants to reveal his plan of redemption for all mankind through the feasts of Israel. And the Lord Yeshua, Jesus, fulfilled most of the feasts. Some are going to be fulfilled, but they all point us to the Lord. So, to reveal God's plan. The other reason is to celebrate God's faithfulness. God is a faithful God. Even when we're not faithful, He is faithful because that's His character. He cannot go against His character. And the fact that these feasts are repeated every year, there's a cycle, shows us that the Lord is faithful to His promises, and He helps us remember His faithfulness as well. They also point us to Messiah Yeshua. All the feasts do. Some have been fulfilled in Him. Some will be fulfilled. But they all point us to Messiah, Jesus our Lord. They also give us hope for daily living. I don't know about you, but I need hope. And I hope you need hope. Because the world around us doesn't have much hope. But in the Lord, we can find hope for our daily lives. And also, they give us a glimpse of the future. All the feasts celebrate something that happened in the past, help us to understand what God is doing today, but they also help us to look into the future. What does God want to the future? What is waiting for us? So the feast that we're going to look at today, the first one that is coming up, the fourth feast of Israel, is called Rosh Hashanah, or the Feast of Trumpets. Actually, the name Rosh is head, Shana the year, so head of the year is the meaning of that. It actually is the beginning of the Jewish civil year. Jewish people, we do things different. We have a civil year, which starts on the seventh month of the year, and then we have a religious year that starts in the month of Nisan during Passover. The first month, we celebrate Passover on the 14th day of Nisan. So there is a religious calendar and there's a civil calendar. So the Feast of Trumpets or Rosh Hashanah, the head of the year, starts on the first day of the month of Tishrei, the seventh month, usually September, October. This year it will happen on the eve of September 11th through September 12th, the eve of one day and through the eve of the next day. By the way, all the feasts of Israel start on the eve, the night before, at sundown before the actual day. And the reason for that, as you probably know or you have heard, is because when God created the earth, as you read in Genesis chapter 1, it always says, and it was the eve and the morning of the first day. And it was the eve and the night of the second day. And so the day for Jewish people starts on the eve at sundown of the day before. So it's celebrated for 2 days. And I think I've said that. And it also marks the beginning of what we call the 10 days of awe. The 10 days of awe. The 10 days that are between Rosh Hashanah, or the Feast of Trumpets, and Yom Kippur, which is the Day of Atonement. Very important days where Jewish people try to make amends with God and with everybody else. And if they're offended somebody, if they owe something to somebody, if they borrow something from somebody, they haven't returned it, they try to fix everything during the 10 days of fast. So if you have a Jewish friend or a Jewish person that you know, those days are good days to talk about spiritual things, because their mind and their heart wants to make things right with God and right with everybody else. So the beginning of this 10 days of awe. And it also prepares Israel for this upcoming repentance that takes place in Yom Kippur. Now, Yom Kippur is a day of atonement where a lot of Jewish people that never go to synagogue go to synagogue to ask forgiveness for their sins and so forth. But you and I know that we don't have to do it just once a year. We can do it as many times as we need to. I don't know about you, but I have to do it every day, and sometimes several times a day, because I'm always messing up, either with my wife or with my friends or at work or with the Lord. So we don't need to wait for that only day. But it's a day where Jewish people think about repentance. And the biblical basis for this, and we're going to look at this text, is mostly on Leviticus chapter 23. By the way, in Leviticus 23, you'll find most of the feasts of the Lord. And Leviticus 23, verses 23 through 25, I'm going to read those for you. If you have your Bibles, you can follow along. Leviticus, in the Old Testament, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, chapter 23, starting on verse 23, says, "The Lord spoke to Moshe," or Moses, "tell the Israelites, in the seventh month, on the first day of the month, you are to have a day of complete rest, commemoration, and jubilation, a sacred assembly. You must not do any daily work, but you must present a fire offering to the Lord." And there are some other verses as well for other feasts. So it's the first day of the seventh month to celebrate the Feast of Rosh Hashanah, or Feast of Trumpets. And when it says there, there'll be a day of commemoration and jubilation, in the Hebrew has the idea of jubilation, making a big noise, a big sound. And so the idea is to celebrate with trumpets and make a big noise to the Lord, and we celebrate. And I'm going to ask, I forgot her name. It's you. Would you bring me my bag? I forgot something very important in my bag. And I want to thank you so much. I don't know why I did. I'm getting older, I guess. Yeah, there it is, where I left it this morning. So the sound is the sound of a trumpet, or the sound of the shofar. And we're going to look at that. Why the shofar? We remember several things in Rosh Hashanah, and I need to go to the next slide, hopefully. Yes, what is the meaning of Rosh Hashanah? Traditionally, the Jewish people believe that this is the day when God created the world, in Rosh Hashanah, the first day of the month of Tishrei. It's traditional. You can't prove it, but God is king over all the earth. God is creator. The idea of God is king is mentioned in the word Malchuyot, that God is king. This year, we're going to be celebrating 5787 in September 11, because they believe that the world was created about 6,000 years ago. And that's another topic as well. They divide the history in 2,000 years, 2,000 years, and 2,000 years. And they believe that at the year 6,000, God is going to do something great. It might be the second coming of Messiah for us. For them, would be they consider the first. But God is going to do something else. We don't know. God knows, right? Everything is in His time and in His hands. But the belief is that He created the world at this time, and that He reigns, and He's going to do something great. The books of life are going to be open. And Jewish people believe that there's not only just one book, but there are three books. One book is For Life, for the righteous people. Another book is The Book of Death, for the wicked people. And there is a third book for the in-betweeners, which is most of us, they say. Most of us are not too wicked and not too righteous, so the biggest group is in this book of in-between people, in this intermediate state where the majority of people are. And the way they think and the way they act is that in order to be righteous, you have to do good deeds. That's the mentality in Judaism. You become righteous by doing good deeds or good acts. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that. So, let me go forward. Where am I here? Okay. The day is a day of rest where people go to religious services. And, you know, Jewish people are like many other religious people, and I hope there's nobody here like that, but you know, some people sometimes go to church only for Christmas or for Passover or for Easter or things like that. Well, a lot of Jewish people, you find the synagogues pretty full during this time because they like to go to these religious services. It's also a day of remembrance, and the things that we remember, Yom HaZikaron, the day of remembrance. And what we remember is several things. First, we remember that Abraham, when he was about to sacrifice his son Isaac, God stopped him, as we read in Genesis chapter 22. And God provided a ram or a lamb so that Abraham didn't have to sacrifice his son Isaac, as we read in Genesis chapter 22, verses 13 and 14. Starting on verse 12, he says, "The Lord said, when he was about to sacrifice his son, 'Don't lay a hand on the boy or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your only son from me.' Abraham looked up and saw a ram caught in the horns in the thicket. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered it as a burnt offering in place of his son. And Abraham named the place, 'The Lord will provide,' or Adonai Yireh, or Jehovah Jireh, as you want to pronounce it. So today it said, it will be provided in the Lord's mountain." And so that's why during this time we have a ram's horn and we blow the shofar. And it sounds something like this. And it has several meanings, and we're going to talk about that too, why we blow the shofar. To remember that ram that took the place of Isaac as the sacrifice. We also think about a future Messiah, because in the same mountain, Mount Moriah, when Abraham almost sacrificed his son and God provided a lamb, a sacrificial lamb, many centuries later, the Lord Jesus, Yeshua HaMashiach, our Messiah, was sacrificed in the mounts of Moriah, which have, including Mount Golgotha, Mount Zion, the mountain range is called Mount Moriah in Jerusalem. And so God had a plan. He doesn't just do things like you and I of a spur of the moment. He has a plan. And just like the sacrificed ram saved the life of Isaac back then, many centuries later, the Lamb of God, Jesus the Messiah, died on that same mountain, same cross, so that you and I don't have to pay for our sins. Jesus paid it all. Amen? Amen. So beautiful, beautiful picture of the future Messiah that would come. So another prophecy, well, it's called the Day of Remembrance, Yom HaZikaron. The binding of Isaac is the Akedah, the binding of Isaac when he was almost sacrificed. And by the way, for some Jewish scholars, the idea of Isaac almost being sacrificed, they say that he actually died in some way and came back to life. And I think I think about this a lot. And I put myself in Isaac's place, and I think if I was there and I saw a knife coming down to me, I'd probably die of a heart attack before the knife even touched me. So that the idea that he actually died and came back to life, it's also a picture of what Jesus the Messiah would do before. He actually died and came back to life. And that's why we have life and promise in him. So the other prophecy that is included in this is also the idea of the regathering of Israel. One of the things that we celebrate or we look at when we are celebrating Rosh Hashanah is that the Lord will bring us back to our land. And in Isaiah, there are several passages, but the one in Isaiah chapter 43 is one of the passages that promises this. Isaiah 43 verses 5 and 6, the Lord says to the people, "Do not fear, for I am with you. I will bring your descendants from the east and gather you from the west. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not hold them back. Bring my sons from far away and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Everyone called by my name and created for my glory, I have formed him. Indeed, I have made him." So this is one of the prophecies. There are others where God promises that he will bring his people back to the place. And of course, as you know, this was fulfilled in the year 1948 when Israel became a nation once again. And so one of the promises is there. Also Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 24. And then we also think about the second coming of the Messiah during this time. Because, for Jewish people, they're waiting to see him for the first time that don't believe in Jesus. But for us that believe in Jesus, the second coming of Messiah is promised. And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16, it says, "For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the archangel's voice, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ," or in Yeshua, in Messiah, "will rise first." And so the coming of Messiah, we don't know when it's going to happen, but we're getting closer every day. Every day is closer, and so we don't know if we're going to be here, some of us, or we'll come with him if he already take us home. But we will be part of that. If you're a follower of Jesus, a child of God, born again believer in him, you either see it from here or you come with him, but he's coming again. Amen?
Amen?
And I live with that hope, and I hope you have that hope as well. So that's another thing that we remember, and the sound of the shofar reminds us that he's coming again to announce his coming. Now, what are some of the other elements that we have in Rosh Hashanah? We have a ceremony called the Tashlik ceremony. The Tashlik ceremony takes place on the afternoon of the first day of Rosh Hashanah. And we have to find a place with clear water or living water, as we saw, where there's running water, a lake or a river or a creek or something. And we throw crumbs, breadcrumbs or small rocks into that body of water. Where is this the base? The base of this in Micah chapter 7, verse 19. And let's see if I can find it. I know it's in my Bible. I just have to find it. Micah chapter 7, verse 19. It says, "He will again have compassion on us. He will vanquish our iniquities." And talking to the Lord, it says, "You will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea." And so Jewish people take that verse of Micah 7:19, and where God says that he will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea, as representing that God takes care of our sin and forgives us all of our sin. There's also the blowing of the shofar. We already did that. Maybe we'll do it again later. And again, it reminds us of it's called the shofarot, the blowing of the shofar. Remind us of that ram that was sacrificed instead of Isaac. And also we have a greeting that says, "Leshana tova tikatevu," which means, may your name be inscribed for a good year in the book of life. So that's how we greet one another. Leshana tova tikatevu. And so learn it, because at the end we'll have a test. No, I'm just kidding. Just kidding. But that's it. That's the greeting where we greet one another. Of course, we couldn't have a problem. We couldn't have a feast without food. And Jewish people, as you can tell looking at me, we like to eat. And we have some good stuff. We have apple slices with honey, because the honey represents the idea of a sweet year to come. So we eat apples with honey. We had sweets. We had cakes. And we have a bread, the challah bread, that is eaten every Shabbat or Erev Shabbat. The challah bread is a braided bread. But for Rosh Hashanah, it's a round bread. The idea of a circle that's never ending and a cycle of a new year beginning. So we eat around challah. So those are some of the things that we do. Now, you say, well, what does that have to do with me? Again, Brother Jorge, I'm not Jewish. How can I apply it to my life? Well, there's a few things that we can learn as well. For believers in Yeshua, it can be a time of spiritual renewal through daily repentance. Again, we don't have to wait for repenting of our sins once a year. We do it as many times as needed, because Jesus paid for our sins, and the blood that he shed on the cross for you and I is still good. It still applies as many times as necessary. It doesn't run out. It never ends. And every time you and I have to sin, we go to the Lord, we confess our sin, we repent of our sins. That means turning away, and we ask God for forgiveness, and he cleanses us. So it's a good time for spiritual renewal and daily repentance. It also reminds us to enjoy the sweet life that we have in Messiah. I love this congregation, because people here are lively, and you can sense that there is a spirit of the Lord, and it shows. It shows in the face. It shows in the expression. Sometimes I go to some churches and I ask, do you have the spirit of the Lord with you? Yes. I mean, are you enjoying the life with the Lord every day and giving him thanks and glory? Yeah. You know. So enjoy the life of the Lord, huh? He gave us life abundant. He said, I have come to give you life, and you will have it abundantly. Not just a little bit of life, but an abundant life. And I know that's not to, you know, take lightly the problems we go through, the difficulties, the obstacles, the suffering we all have to go through. But in the midst of it all, we praise the Lord with a grateful, grateful heart. So we enjoy. Listen to the blowing of a shofar, huh? Be listening. Why? That's why I blow it, because you have to get used to the sound, because one day when the Lord comes back, he says, they will be announced by the blowing of the shofar, and it's going to be heard all over the world. So we have to get used to that sound so that we are ready when he comes, and of course, be prepared when the Lord comes back. In Matthew 24:31, the word of the Lord tells us that let me see if I can find it. I don't have enough light here. It says, when he comes back, he will send out his angels with a loud trumpet, and they will gather his elect from the four winds, from the end of the world, of the sky to the other end. So there will be a big sound. Some people say like the big rumbling and sound and tremendous sound that took place in Mount Sinai when the Lord was giving the law of God. We don't know, but it's going to be loud, and I hope you're ready to hear it so that you can join the Lord wherever he takes us. So be prepared for the coming of the Lord. So that's basically the idea of Rosh Hashanah, the new year, but is it also the Feast of Trumpets in Scripture. Now, the next feast that we celebrate during this time is the Day of Atonement. And again, we go back to Leviticus chapter 23, Yom Kippur. Chapter 23 of Leviticus, verses 26 through 32. And it says, the Lord again spoke to Moses the 10th day of the 7th month. So it happens 10 days after Rosh Hashanah. The 10th day of the 7th month is a Day of Atonement. You are to hold a sacred assembly and practice self-denial. Remember that word, self-denial. You are to present a free offering to the Lord. On this particular day, you are not to do any work, for it is a day of atonement, to make atonement for yourself before the Lord your God. If any person does any or does not practice or self-denial on this particular day, he must be cut off from his people. I will destroy among his people, anyone who does any work on this same day. If you're not to do any work, this is a permanent statute throughout your generations, wherever you lived. It will be a Sabbath of complete rest for you, and you must practice self-denial. You are to observe your Sabbath from the evening of the ninth day to the month of the month until the following evening. So this is the day of Yom Kippur. So self-denial, Jewish people interpret it as fasting. That day is a day of fasting. Stopping to do other things that we usually do. Not work at all during that day. There's no physical relations between husband and wife, and several things that are not allowed during that day, just to spend a day thinking about the Lord, confessing our sins and repenting of our sins. Okay? So the idea is that we atone for the sins of Israel, Leviticus 16. If you want to read it at home, I encourage you to read Leviticus 16, because in Leviticus 16, it explains all the sacrifices that the high priest had to do on behalf of the people for the forgiveness of his sins, his family sins, and the sins of Israel. So that's all explained in Leviticus 16. And it's a day of atonement for sins. It's Israel's holiest day. If you're ever in Israel on the day of Yom Kippur, you better get some food the day before, because nothing is open. Everything is closed. Everybody is just taking that day off and to celebrate or to remember this relationship with the Lord. And of course, is a day where God provides forgiveness and judgment. He is a judge, and they believe that. And there, so the elements that we have are confession, which is, I used to teach worship in a seminary one time, and I used to teach about this prayer of confession, and I would remind myself as well. Confession is not just saying, "Lord, forgive me of my sins." That's easy to say. It's a little harder to say, "Lord, forgive me because I disrespected my wife, or was too harsh on my children, or I wasn't totally honest at job, or I did this, or I forgot to do this." And when you start listing them, then you say, "Wow, I am really a sinner." So confession is a listing, enumerating our sins. And by the way, in Judaism, during Yom Kippur, there are several prayers, what is called the Kol Nidre, a very long prayer, listing all the sins you can imagine, and everybody reads it together, and everybody confesses together. And it's a good reminder that we're not as good as we think we are. In God's eyes, we're sinners. Saved by grace, cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. Yes, there is hope, but it reminds us who we are. So there's confession, repentance, that means turning away from our sin, and reconciliation, which is reconciling with God and with those that we have offended. So prayer and fasting are part of that day. Now, we move on as well. And again, we said the elements are to atone for the sins of Israel through the blood of a substitute goat. I'll let you read Leviticus 16. It talks about one goat being sacrificed in the altar, but another goat, the priest would put his hands over his head and confess all the sins of the people, and then this goat would be sent out by different people all the way out to a cliff or a wilderness far away, and the last one to see it, they would make sure that the goat would jump over the cliff and die, and so they would bring back word to the temple saying, "The goat, the sacrificial goat, has taken our sins. He is sacrificed for us. Now we are forgiven." So that's what happened during this time of Yom Kippur. Now, what happened also was that, let me see, I went too fast. Confession, repentance, yeah, we saw that. Okay, I will mention this, that after the temple was destroyed in the year 70, that's where it comes, yeah, through the substitute goat. After the year 70, the temple in Jerusalem was destroyed, And so there was no way of, the whole sacrificial system was canceled. And of course, it's no coincidence that Yeshua died on the cross about 33, 35, depending on who you read, of that first century. And he paid the final sacrifice. And there's no coincidence that after that, the temple was destroyed and there's no more sacrificial system. And so Judaism doesn't have that. So the rabbis substituted the sacrifices with three things. It says you have to do prayers, that's called tefillah. You have to do repentance, teshuvah. And you have to do good deeds or good works of righteousness called tzedakah. And that's similar to my name, tzedakah. Tzedek comes from righteous, and tzedakah means righteousness. And I always clarify, I'm not righteous because of my last name. I'm righteous because Jesus made me righteous, okay? But that's what it means, tzedakah, acts of righteousness. Now, that's what the rabbis came up with. But God never changed his plan. For God, forgiveness, repentance was always through the shed blood of some sacrifice. And because Jesus paid it all, we don't need to make any more sacrifices. Amen? He paid for our sins. God's requirement is still through the blood of Messiah. And he made the final provisions through Messiah Jesus on the cross. When you trust in him, when you follow him, and you make him your Savior, he forgives us of our sins and cleanses us from all unrighteousness. So that's basically the feast, Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. Now, we go to the final feast, and it's during this high holiday season. Remember, Rosh Hashanah, the first day of month of Tishrei, 10 days later, Yom Kippur, and then on the 15th day is the feast of Sukkot or Tabernacles. And this feast reminds us of the, we'll read it in Leviticus as well, Leviticus 23, reminds us of the time we were wandering in the wilderness. And so let me read there in Leviticus 23, starting on verse 33. The Lord spoke to Moses, "Tell the Israelites, the festival of booths to the Lord begins in the 15th day of the seventh month and continues for 7 days. There will be a sacred assembly on the first day. You are not to do any work. You are to present a fire offering to the Lord for 7 days, and on the eighth day, you are to hold a sacred assembly. Present a fire offering to the Lord. It is a solemn gathering. You are not to do any daily work." And then he goes on to tell other things. So what happens? What do we do during Sukkot? We remember the 40 years that we wandered in the wilderness. You know what happened? It could have taken them 3 months to get from Egypt to the Promised Land. It was, 2.5 million people going together. It was slow, But it could have taken them about 3 months, people calculate. But because of the disobedience, God held them in the wilderness for 40 years, living in tents. Now, I always say, my wife and I, when we were younger, we used to enjoy camping. We don't do that anymore. We like to rest in comfortable beds now. But even if you enjoy camping, 40 years camping is a little too much. But that's what they had to go through because of the disobedience, okay? So I'm just saying, be careful, and I'm telling myself not to disobey the Lord, because you don't know the consequences of disobedience. Well, we do know through Scripture. But be careful not to play with God, because God knows how we live and our promises we make and so forth. So, 40 years in the wilderness. We also celebrate the fall harvest, and this is the time of a late harvest. And so in Israel, we celebrate the good harvest of the Lord. And we also remember and celebrate God's provision and faithfulness. God's provision and faithfulness. He always provided for Israel, and he is faithful to Israel and to us ourselves. Some of the key elements nowadays during Sukkot, Jewish people build the sukkahs, or this temporary living conditions. So they build it in their front yard or in their backyard. They put a tent. Sometimes if they live in apartments, they do it in their balconies. You might have seen some of these. It has to be comfortable enough to have some meals there for 7 days. And if the weather is nice, people are encouraged to sleep there as well. Just to remember how we lived when we were in the wilderness for 40 years. So the sukkahs are an interesting thing. They also are encouraged to get what we call the lulav, which is some branches of leafy trees, as are described in Leviticus. They were to take branches of leafy trees and make them together like a bunch called the lulav. And during this time, you can get them yourself or you can buy them. And people every day before they go to have a dinner in the sukkah, there is a ceremony outside that you ask the Lord to bless the north, south, east, and west, and everything around us, and bless the desert world, and bless us, and bless our family everywhere we go, and so forth. It's a special blessing of the lulav branches. So it's a very, very joyous time of the year, and we sing songs of praise, and we remember these four things. Remember God's provision. When Israel was in the wilderness, God provided free bread and free meat for 40 years. The manna that came, they didn't have to work for it. Every day they had free bread, and the quails as well. Every day they could eat meat. So we remember God's provision in the wilderness. We remember God's presence with Israel. And you know, Israel, during the wilderness, God was guiding them during the day with a cloud and during the night with a column of fire, as you recall. So God's presence was always there in the wilderness. He was also in the tabernacle where they built the ark of the tabernacle. He was there. He was there in the presence in the temple. And then God came himself, God with us, Jesus our Messiah, Emmanuel. Not only his presence was there, but he physically, God came in the form of Jesus, our Messiah. And today, where the Lord has died and risen again and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father, we have the presence of the Lord. If you're a believer in Jesus, his Holy Spirit lives within you, the Ruach HaKodesh of God, and his presence is with us wherever we go. So we remember his provision, his presence. We remember his promise. That will give us hope for eternity, will give us hope for salvation. Jewish people during Sukkot pray for rain, for the good crops, but also there's a promise of water, and we're going to see this ceremony that is done. And so they're asking for the water that God provides that gives us life. And so it's also an image of the Holy Spirit of God that gives us life. There is a ceremony that takes place in Israel and even at the time of Jesus, our Messiah. In John chapter 7, we can read about this. John chapter 7 mentions this feast of Sukkot. In John 7 verse 10, it says, after his brothers, talking about Jesus, after his brothers has gone up to the festival, and this is the festival of Sukkot, because it mentions it even before. In chapter 7, verse 2, the Jewish festival of tabernacles was coming. So Jesus went with his brothers to the temple to Sukkot. Then in verse 37 and 38, it says, on the last and most important day of the festival of Sukkot, which is Hoshanah Rabbah, the great day of celebration, Jesus stood up and cried, if anyone is thirsty, he should come to me and drink. The one who believes in me, as the scripture has said, will have streams of living water flow from deep within. So why did he say this during this tabernacle, during this Feast of Tabernacles? Because during the Feast of Tabernacles, 7 days, if you've been to Jerusalem, you know where it's at. The temple is up in Mount Zion. And then there is some stairs going down, that it was a tunnel, and there was a way to go down to the Pool of Siloam. And the priest will go every day of the feast, go down and bring water to the temple. And he will go around the altar and pour water around the altar. And on the seventh day of the feast, this day was Hoshana Rabbah, the great day of celebration, he would go down seven times and bring water. And people would stand on the sides of this way where he would go up and down and would shout and sing and praise to the Lord because he has provided water for our crops and for our life. And so Jesus is watching this and he's telling the people, you know, if you believe in me, if you put your trust in me and what I do for you, you'll have streams of living water flowing from you. And that's an amazing picture. And that's why I say, show it in your life that you have this stream of living water because Jesus is within your life. So he's celebrating Hoshana Rabbah on that day. Well, we need to move on. God's provision, God's presence, God's promise, and also the prophecy of the future celebration that we will do when Jesus comes again. In the book of Zechariah, the next to the last book of the Old Testament, it talks in chapter 14, verses 16 and 19, that in the future, when Messiah comes back, it says, then all the survivors from the nations that came against Jerusalem will go year after year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to celebrate the festival of booths, the festival of tabernacles. Should any of the families of the earth not go up to Jerusalem to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, rain will not fall on them. And if the people of Egypt will not go on them, and it talks about Egypt, and then 10th, verse 19, this will be the punishment for Egypt and all the nations that do not go up to celebrate the festival of booths. So it is a day of celebration that we're also celebrating the second coming of Messiah. I plan to be there, and I hope to see many of you as well. It's a big, great time of celebration. So we conclude. And the last great day is called the Hoshana Rabbah, the great day of praise. The water ceremony of the temple, we also mentioned that, how the priest would go up and down to get water from the pool of Siloam. Jesus is the living water. We read that as well. And the present and the future we talk about. Now, I want to conclude with this. Because we know that Jesus is coming again, and we're getting closer every day. But the Bible says that there are three things at least. There are many things that are going to take place. But there's three major things that have to take place before Jesus comes back. One thing is that Israel has to be regathered as a nation in their land. And that, ladies and gentlemen, has happened. Many people didn't think that it was ever going to happen. But in 1948, they established the state of Israel. And they're not going anywhere. They're going to stay there because that's their land and God's promise. So God keeps his promise. And I say that because if you were living in the 18th century, many theologians, Christian theologians, never thought and would consider it impossible that Israel was going to come back again. Because they believe that the church has replaced Israel. And as you know, most of you, I hope all of you know, that is not the case, okay? Israel is Israel, and the church is a church, and God has a plan for both. And but Israel came back. So that has to happen before the Lord comes back. The second thing that had to happen is that Jerusalem has to be again in the hands of Jewish people, Israel. Why? Because Jerusalem, as you know, the history was divided between several groups. And Britain was part of it, and Jordan, and so everybody had, several people had a part in Jerusalem, but has been reunited in 1967 after the Six-Day War, miraculous war that Israel won. Israel is united again. In fact, Jerusalem, excuse me, is reunited again. In fact, people want to divide. That's the reason why I wrote that song, because Jerusalem is the eternal capital of Israel, and that's not going to change. Amen. Now, other people live there too, praise the Lord, but it is the capital of Israel. And the third thing that has to happen is that the Bible says that at the time when Jesus comes, Israel will have many enemies. And every time I say this, it's true, because every day Israel seems to have more enemies. And so that's, we're getting closer. I don't know how many enemies Israel has to have before the Lord comes back, but the Bible says that many nations will gather against Israel, and the Lord himself will take care of them. That's another prophecy I'll let some other prophetic teachers that are here to teach you about that. But God keeps his word. And that's important. Because if God didn't keep his word to Israel and the promises to Israel, how can we trust him to keep promises to us? If the church replaced Israel, then all the promises of God to Israel are null and void and not happy to the church. But that's not the case. When God says, this I will do, take him at his word because he is trustworthy. So that's why it's important that you believe that God keeps the promises to Israel, because that means that he keeps the promises to you as well. So, the future Sukkot celebration, we read that in Zechariah 14, there will be a time of celebration in Jerusalem. It won't be here in Oakville, I'm sorry. But it'll be in Jerusalem. We will all be there if you're a believer in Yeshua. So, what does this mean to you? What does this mean to me? Well, one thing you can think about during this time of Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and Sukkot is, how is my relationship with the Lord? What's my standing with the Lord? Am I a child of God? Is he my father? Can I call him my Savior, my Lord? You know, is it just an idea, or is he part of your life every day? Not just on Sundays, not just on a few days, but every day of your life. Another thing we can think about is, today is a good day to evaluate our life, confess our sins, repent, ask God's forgiveness, and experience his love. If you haven't done that, no time, or there's no time like today. Maybe you have never given your life to Jesus. I don't know all of you. But if you've never given your life to Jesus, do it today. Ask him, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I know I'm not perfect. I know that I mess up. And I now cannot take care of my own sin, cannot help my own self. So I ask you to forgive me. And I ask Jesus to come into my life. And by his blood shed on the cross, make me righteous. Forgive me of my sins. Cleanse me of my sins. And make me your child. And God will do it. That's his promise. And he will take you and welcome you into his home. But if you're already a believer, we still sin. And we still need to confess. So I pray that during this time, you think about these things and ask the Lord to forgive us. And as a follower of Yeshua, again, are you enjoying God's blessings in your life? I hope you do. Now, when you greet me outside, please smile, okay? So that you're not just kidding. Show me that you're enjoying the Lord. I hope you do, whether you smile to me or not. And finally, live in the hope of the second coming of Messiah. There's not much hope around the world. I don't know what you're going through in your house, your family, your job, your school, your neighborhood, whatever is going on in your life. I don't know. But remember, there is hope that Jesus is coming again. And I hope you believe it, and I hope you live in that hope, because it's going to be a great day. But you have to be ready, and you have to know that Jesus is your Lord and Savior and Messiah. So, finally thing, listen for the sound of the shofar. Just in case you forgot how it sounds, it's something like this. Maybe louder than that, because the Lord is coming with a great sound of the shofar. Amen?
Amen.
Let's pray together, and then I'll let our brother continue with the service. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that you're a God that is faithful to your word. Father, thank you for the feast that you instituted through Israel. And thank you, Lord, that whether we're Jewish or not, we can celebrate and we can learn from this feast about your presence and your promise and your provision for our lives and your prophecies of the future. So help us, Father, to give our lives to you every day, to confess our sins as many times as necessary, knowing that your forgiveness is available to all. And Father, to share this hope with others that don't know you. Help us not to be selfish with our faith, but to share it with those around us. And Father, help us to have that hope, that joy, that knowing that we're going to spend eternity with you if you are our Lord and Savior, and that you're coming again. Baruch Hashem, Adonai Eloheinu. Blessed be the name of the Lord our God. In Yeshua's name, Amen.